Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm. A podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news of the day. I'm Carl Lengle, your host. It is a Friday, the 17th of April, 2026. A state senator and congressional candidate is accused of sexual abuse and suspended his campaign, according to the Montana Democratic Party. Montana Public Radio Shaley Rager reports.
Party Chair Shannon O'Brien first announced State Senator Jonathan Windyboy would withdraw from Montana's Eastern Congressional race. She said in a statement she was, quote, deeply troubled to learn about allegations of serious sexual abuse, unquote, against the Box Elder Democrat. O'Brien called for an investigation and for Windyboy to resign from the legislature. Senate Minority Leader Pat Flowers called the allegations deeply disturbing and said he's asked Windyboy for his resignation. The Montana American Indian Caucus agreed, saying in a statement that political standing should not impede justice. In a video posted to social media Thursday, Windyboy said he's withdrawing from the race due to health issues. He did not address the allegations or his Senate seat. The party declined to provide additional details and directed questions to Helena attorney Brian Miller, who is also running in the Democratic primary for the Eastern District. Miller said he's in contact with a woman who accuses Windyboy of sexual abuse that occurred about 20 years ago. He said she's remaining anonymous for now. He alerted the party roughly a week ago. Windyboy was first elected to the state legislature in 2003. He was previously investigated for sending sexually harassing texts to a female colleague in 2017. Windyboy did not return MTPR's request for comment. In Helena, I'm Shaley Rager.
Democrats competing for Montana's open U.S. Senate seat met on the debate stage for the first time in Helena. Montana Public Radio's Shaley Rager reports.
The candidates seeking the Democratic nomination are Riley Neal, a former legislator and Livingston business owner, Michael Blackwolf, the historic preservation officer for the Fort Belknap Indian community, Michael Hummert, a Helena Navy veteran and former business owner, and Alani Bankhead, a Helena Air Force veteran and leadership coach. They're running for the seat held by Republican U.S. Senator Steve Daines, who is not seeking re-election. The widening wealth gap is one of the top issues in Montana the Democrats discussed. The candidates each pitched varying approaches. Hummert says balancing the federal government's budget would be his top priority.
When we spend more money than we take in as a nation, who does that benefit? It doesn't benefit anybody in this room. It benefits billionaires. It benefits corporations. It benefits other countries.
Bankhead says Montana has experience reining in power and money, referring to the Copper Kings. She proposed starting with tax policy.
Everybody should pay their fair share of taxes, and we should be bringing a lot of that economy down to the Main Street.
Neal called for a bottom-up approach and better pay for workers.
We need to raise the federal minimum wage. We need industry in Montana, but we need to invite industry that's going to pay workers fairly.
Blackwolf agreed with focusing on workers and local economies.
We need to really step up and support our unions. We need to ensure that our Made in Montana gets pushed forward.
The winner of the Democratic primary is likely to face Republican attorney Kurt Almy, who Daines endorsed after dropping out of the race at the 11th hour. Independent candidate Seth Bodner is also angling for a spot on the ballot. In Helena, I'm Shaley Rager.
40 state legislators are asking Montana's congressional delegation for oversight and review of the United States' involvement in the Iran war as a ceasefire continues. The group of legislators, including 8 Republicans, sent a letter to Montana's congressional delegation earlier this week. Democratic Representative Tom France of Missoula says, absent legislation, leadership should demand answers.
I think the Congress needs to call in the Pentagon. It needs to call in the president's spokespeople and say, what really was the strategy? How are we going to get out of this? And what are the costs going to be to the American public and the American treasury?
On Thursday, the U.S. House of Representatives shot down a bid to pull American troops out of Iran until Congress provides authorization. It's one of multiple attempts so far to rein in U.S. military action in Iran, and it failed along party lines, with Representatives Troy Downing and Ryan Zinke voting against it. YPR reached out to Montana's congressional delegation. In an email, Downing said Congress reserves the right to permit the president to conduct military activity for a limited duration under the War Powers Resolution. A spokesperson with the U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy said he supports the Trump administration's military action in Iran. YPR did not receive a response from Senator Steve Daines or Representative Ryan Zinke. The Montana Supreme Court upheld another block on a state policy restricting amendments to identity documents, which would impact the transgender, non-binary, and intersex residents. The policy is one of several iterations enacted by the State Health Department and the Montana Legislature over the last few years. While a lawsuit plays out, a majority on the state's high court agreed the policy should be on hold. That means residents can update their birth certificates and driver's licenses. The court's majority wrote that discrimination against transgender people is sex discrimination. Two justices dissented, including Chief Justice Corey Swanson. Swanson's 2024 election to the seat was backed by Republicans who say the judiciary has gone too far in blocking legislation. It's never been so expensive for Americans to buy a steak or hamburger, but cutting those costs requires ranchers to raise more cattle, and that's not an easy ask. For a host of reasons, ranchers are reluctant to grow the national herd, which is now its smallest in more than 75 years. Until they do, demand will outweigh supply, and prices for beef likely will remain high. Adding cattle makes sense for some people, but North Dakota rancher Stephanie Hotzenbühler says others are struggling to stay afloat with the cattle they have. About 2.5 billion pounds of beef were exported to other countries in 2025, and the tight remaining supply, along with the high demand, has caused record prices. The average price of all U.S. uncooked ground beef is up 48% from March 2021. Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon announced yesterday he will not seek a third term as the chief executive of the state. His current term ends in early January. He says his team's attention will remain on supporting core industries, growing Wyoming's economy, strengthening local communities and families, and safeguarding Wyoming's vital natural resources. So far, three Republicans and one Constitutional Party candidate have tossed their hats in the ring to replace him. Wyoming's primary election is August 18th. Members of the Community Health Corps Montana are taking on health care projects across the state, and applications for the second annual round of service are now open. Laura Hatch with Big Sky Connection has more.
The program helps community groups accomplish their goals, aiming to support organizations that address substance abuse and mental health, chronic disease management, or social drivers of health, like housing and hunger. Dana Hewan-Korn with the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes says they're getting help from three Corps members.
We are a tiny staff who takes on way more than our tiny staff can do, and it's really been wonderful to have boots on the ground to help us get those things we dream about but can't achieve because we're doing everything we can already do.
Hewan-Korn explains Corps members assist with community events and after-school programs about food sovereignty and food insecurity. This is the first year for Community Health Corps Montana, which is administered by Montana State University. There are nine members in the first group, which started in January and will end in August. Applications for the second group opened earlier this month, and they'll work from this September through July 2027. Applicants must be 18 years of age or older and have a high school degree. I'm Laura Hatch, reporting.
As a sign the tourist season is heating up, seven mussel-fouled boats from out of state have been detected so far, according to a news release from Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Montana requires all out-of-state boats to be inspected before launch in state waters, and the state requires all motorized and non-motorized watercraft stop at all watercraft inspection stations they encounter. Currently, there are 10 roadside inspection sites in the state. So far this year, FWP reports the state inspectors have examined more than 2,000 watercraft. The agency reports the infected boats had come from lakes in Oklahoma, Arizona, Wisconsin, and Illinois. FWP reminds residents these inspection stations are the first line of defense to stop the spread of aquatic invasive species. Heavy, wet snow and cold temperatures are delaying the Friday opening of an entrance and several roads in Yellowstone National Park, but only for a couple of hours. The park announced in a Thursday news release that a winter storm has pushed the opening of the west entrance at West Yellowstone up until noon today. The roads from the west entrance to Old Faithful, the west entrance to Canyon Village, and from Mammoth Hot Springs to North Geyser Basin will open at noon. Park officials say the north entrance at Gardner to the northeast entrance at Cook City Silver Gate is not affected by the delay and will remain open. Yellowstone has received up to 14 inches of heavy snow, wet snow in certain areas, and more was forecast overnight with temperatures dropping to 10 degrees, creating hazardous driving conditions. At Montana Shakespeare in the Parks, the truck must go on. Last summer, after crossing the Chief Joseph Pass into Wyoming from Silvergate, the GMC truck carrying the MSIP stage and 24-foot trailer broke down. There was no way to transport the set or other equipment in time, so the company loaded some costumes into the other vehicles and continued on to Powell, Wyoming. That evening, without the set, props, microphones, or other sound equipment, the show went on for a scheduled performance in Washington Park. As the internationally lauded company approaches its 54th season, it is seeking help in keeping the show on the road. Shakespeare in the Parks is raising funds to purchase a new touring truck and plan the replacement of the stage. That platform stage has carried the shows into communities for 22 years. The company is celebrated for its productions of Shakespeare in parks, theaters, gyms, community centers, and schools across the Northwest, and it is applauded for its rigorous summer tours. In 2025, the company spent more than 200 days on the road, across 5 states and 30,000 miles. 42,000 family members and friends gathered in 64 communities at nearly 80 performances across the Northwest. For more information about MSIP and the 2026 tour schedule, visit shakespeareintheparks.org. This is a midterm election year, and Montana's primary election is June 2nd. Yellowstone Public Radio and Montana Public Radio are working together to share profiles on candidates running for federal office in 2026. Today, a conversation between Montana Public Radio's Shaley Ragar and Secretary of State Christy Jacobson, who's a Republican running for the Western U.S. House seat.
Secretary Jacobson, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Shaley, for having me.
We will dive right in here. What makes you the most qualified candidate for this job?
What differentiates me from all the other candidates is my experience and how I've delivered for the people of Montana already. And that's why I've won by the largest margin of any other candidate in the last two general elections. It's because I was fully endorsed the first time around on securing elections, being a business partner, expanding public access, and being pro-natural resource development for our state. And my role as Secretary of State, I've delivered on all those things. We have a record number of businesses. I've cut red tape for businesses. I've cut filing fees for businesses. Have a lot of different initiatives implemented for securing our elections and have solid votes on the land board for expanding public access, which I know is super important to all of the people in Western Montana. So I'm just super proud of delivering on all of those results.
How does your prior experience translate to working in Congress? What will you bring from that experience?
So it's getting government out of the way for businesses to thrive. It's reducing the size and the spending of government, partnering with the business community, representing the small businesses across our country, and securing our elections. We have a lot of common sense election integrity measures that we implemented here in Montana. All of the election integrity measures that we've implemented are bipartisan. They're just solid policies that Montanans want to see, and I think the rest of the country as well. And expanding our natural resource development. I think energy is a very big issue that we need an advocate in Congress for. And I think we just have to allow the federal regulations to empower and enact to have energy production.
The federal government shut down amid an impasse between Republicans and Democrats over subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. How would you have approached that vote?
If I were serving in Congress, I would not, I would insist on not getting paid until we deliver for the workers. And I think it's absolutely unacceptable to go without having the funding for them and expect them to show up and work for free. And I certainly do not think that when that's going on, Congress should be able to take a break, take a recess, and they shouldn't be getting paid. And I would put my money where my mouth is with that.
How do you think Congress should try to address the cost of health care? I imagine it'll come up again.
Yeah, I think we need to take care of the rural areas in the state, and we need to make sure that our elderly are taken care of and that we protect the Social Security for our all the people that have earned that. And I know there's new and innovative ways to do that.
The Trump administration made a push to downsize the federal government. Are you happy with the results of that effort, and do you believe further downsizing is necessary?
Well, I believe in efficiency, and I think when it comes to the federal government and $78 trillion in debt, I think there's absolute room for efficiencies, and I think we have to look at where there should be a shift in government spending, but to, like, for instance, to fund a war, we can't just start funding things without having reductions in other areas. So I think we have to look at the entire scope of the spending and make government work more efficiently.
What would you say is a top priority for constituents in this district?
I think public access is a big thing. I think having the different entities, the Good Neighbor Authority, for instance, where you have the state and the federal partnerships for taking care of our forests and allowing expanded public access. And I also think affordability. When I talk to Montanans across, in particular Western Montana, affordability, gas, energy, all of that, and making sure that we allow that government's getting out of the way so Montanans can afford to live here and stay here, and making sure that we have good paying jobs in Montana and that there's affordability to buy homes and live here and stay here.
Is there a particular policy that you think would be important to address affordability?
I think just keeping taxes down in general, and having taxes shift onto different populations, that's not reducing taxes. That's a tax shift.
Thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Shaylee Rager speaking with Secretary Christy Jacobson, running for the Western U.S. House seat. That interview is available on our website, along with the others, at ypradio.org. That's The Worm for this Friday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning when you'll have a fresh edition of The Weekend Worm.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.